So, Joe, where are you in the initiative process?
We're in the most difficult part right now. Nevada's initiative petition process is not easy. You have to start 2 years ahead of time. And with the ebb and flow of the political tide, I think even political novices are learning that midterm election years trend more conservative than presidential years. Presidential years have a larger youth turnout, they have a larger minority turnout, and they tend to trend more center left than center right. So we've got to gather signatures in a midterm year when you're trending more center right. And that's not our traditional base. We are expanding our base on the right, but it's not traditionally where we would have a hub of support. And starting this process 2 years early, it's financially difficult. It is, it's monetarily something that raising $500,000 to qualify a ballot initiative is not easy. Now, we're doing well on all fronts. We had a long, hot summer. We've had our targets of signatures laid out every week. We have hit our targets every week. We are right on target. Financially, we are right on target. It's just the most difficult part of this process is going to be getting it onto the ballot. Once it's on the ballot, the will of the people at the ballot box will take hold, and then it's ours to lose. At that point, it's almost like pushing the rock over the crest of the hill. We've got to accomplish all of this by November 11th. We've got to have 102,000 signatures in by November 11th. And we're on target to do that. It's just this is the challenge. This is the tough part.
I know Sheldon Adelson has given money to the anti-medical marijuana initiative on the ballot this fall in Florida. But has the casino industry in Nevada said anything about the initiative?
I think the gaming industry has been really fair with us. Some people in the cannabis industry were concerned when the gaming regulators came in and said, we don't want you having even a spouse in the cannabis industry if you hold a gaming license. And that kind of prudence on the front end is what we have sold to the country as how we regulate gaming here to the gold standard and how we're going to do the same thing for marijuana. And so having a prudent, methodical approach on the front end on keeping those two industries separate, I think has been very wise on behalf of the gaming industry. And I think they've been more than fair with us. We're not going to get everything that we would like in this industry in this first round. We're going to take baby steps because we want to enhance the tourism industry here, not compete with it, not negatively affect it. And so I think that the gaming industry not fighting us openly on this and not being overtly opposed to this is a real win for our industry. I think it's been more than fair.
You know, I just don't think it's a big stretch to say that legalized marijuana would be a big boon to Nevada's tourism-based economy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we're looking at, I love Denver. I've been there about 18 times in the last year and a half because it's become the hub of where you learn about how to do this legally. And Denver's wonderful. Everyone who lives there absolutely loves it. But Denver was 5 degrees when I was there for one of my visits. We never hit 5 degrees in Las Vegas, and we rarely hit 5 degrees in Reno. So it's something where I think our climate is a little better for tourism, and I think just because of the impetus that we have, having such a tourist-driven industry in the South and still accommodating a healthy tourist industry in the North that is probably overall better suited for cannabis than your visitors from the South, I think you've got a really powerful argument that this would enhance tourism. There's no doubt in my mind. But from the gaming industry, what I've heard off record confidentially from folks who don't want to be tied to it is when you run a multi-billion dollar company, you just don't want to roll the dice on someone else's project. And so them proceeding with caution, I think, is fair. I don't think there's anything to fear here. I think that once adult use cannabis passes, we will see very specific tourism for that purpose. Nevada is a place that you can participate in harmless or nearly harmless vice in a well-regulated atmosphere. That's what we do here, and we do it very well. The thing that I've heard on the road in all of my travels to the markets that are ahead of us on this, they simply can't believe with our tourism industry that we are not the recreational cannabis capital of the world and the gay marriage capital of the world. They keep saying those two things. With our big built-in tourism industry, it's baffling to people outside that gaming and legalized prostitution in the rurals are okay. But, you know, we've got to draw the line at marijuana, which is here anyway. It's everywhere. It's just, it's not legal. It's not regulated. No one's checking ID and no one's fighting hard to keep it away from kids. But we can fix that with a regulated market. We can make it so that the people who otherwise wouldn't smoke marijuana ever, but they tried it in high school and they're in their mid-50s and they're here for a convention, they should be able to smoke a joint. There's nothing wrong with that. If they prefer to smoke a joint rather than have a glass of whiskey after a long day at a convention in Las Vegas, more power to them. There's nothing wrong with that.
Now, Joe, I think in the end it comes down to a political victory here in the state. Have you given much thought how to craft the initiative to best appeal to the broadest segment of Nevada's diverse political landscape?
Yes, we had a lot of really smart attorneys take quite a bit of time and vet the proposal out every way that we could possibly imagine. Some of the examples of that are how the medical marijuana law does not change. It is exactly the same under this initiative as it is today. And so if you are a medical patient now, the rights that you have today, you will still have on the other side. We saw some troubling moves in other states where they basically said, if you have recreational marijuana, just let the patients get it that way. And that's offensive to a lot of patients here who are legitimate users of a pain drug that they find more effective than a traditional pharmaceutical. And so it's something where we wanted patients' rights to be preserved. So the medical law is preserved exactly as is. And then we took a look at the different markets that were either entering adult use or about to enter adult use and how they had their system set up. And we decided to model ours after Colorado. They were the most advanced and it seems to be working pretty smoothly. And so we'll have similar possession limits to Colorado. The only marked difference is because of our very large tourist industry, we're not going to have a market that matches our population. We're going to have a market that matches our tourist population. So in the eyes of cannabis, Nevada is not a small state. Nevada is a very large state. And so we're adding a layer for wholesale cannabis distribution, similar to alcohol. The name of our group is the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol, and we stay true to that. We have an alcohol distribution model that we have adopted for wholesale cannabis because it's kind of being done piecemeal in the other states. It's just there's some peer-to-peer and business-to-business transactions, but there's not a formal wholesaling model. And what we learned when we looked into the alcohol distribution model is that's a thing. That's a specific area, and there are reasons that it's there. There are protections for it being there for the consumer. So we added that level in, so there will be a fourth license. But everyone who is a patient today will have the same rights that they have today once adult use marijuana passes.
Joe, finally, I just was curious, how is entrepreneurial interest, you know, casinos aside, is there great interest in having cannabis businesses in Nevada?
Yes. And it has been both a blessing and a curse. The blessing is that we have the best medical marijuana law in the country for patients and for business. It's a for-profit distribution model, so it's not something where you're trying to run a business that needs to operate and needs to invest in R&D and needs to invest in equipment, but you are trying to follow a model that isn't. The nonprofit model was just to put some kind of window dressing on this in other states. And we're the first state to admit that this is a for-profit business and that's okay. And so having for-profit models that allow expertise from other states, that's caused an absolute flood of interest from the best of the best in the industry. I had my board of directors meeting at the Cannabis Association yesterday, and I'm humbled by who's on my board. I mean, you have Harborside Health Center is the largest cannabis retailer in the world, who is coming to Nevada and applying for licenses here. They're one of our advisors. John Davis from Seattle Hempfest is on our board. He's one of our advisors. Leslie Boscor, the investment banker, is our chairman. I mean, we've got great entrepreneurial interest from people who are both experienced in the cannabis industry and people who are experts in their fields, like investment banking, like Mr. Boscor, who brings a perspective on how the public financing and investment in cannabis is being done incorrectly now and how to fix it. So that's the blessing, is that I'm getting to work with some really amazing people. The curse is that we're in the news quite a bit, and I think everyone is now seeing that this is a good investment opportunity, but it's kind of like how the real estate bubble went. By the time people started to get in that didn't know anything about real estate and thought that they would be the next flipping king of Vegas, a lot of people lost money because it was something that they were looking at as putting an ATM on their lawn. And that's not what this business is. If I've learned anything in the last couple of years in the cannabis industry, it is that this is a business of fundamentals. And that if you look to make an investment in a cannabis business, you're going to have to ride out 2 to 5 very lean years in order to turn a profit. And so the number of tire kickers who were interested in becoming the next weed king of Las Vegas was pretty crazy for a few months there. But now that the applications are in and people saw how high that barrier to entry is in Nevada, we are decidedly a big marijuana state. But this is something that turned people away because there are significant barriers to entry here. But I think what that's going to result in is a market that starts off 3 steps ahead of maybe not where Colorado is now, but where they started. We'll be able to hit the ground running here with a better model. And we're seeing that in Oregon and in places that they're looking to legalize next, as they keep improving the model as they go along.
Well, Joe Bresny, I want to thank you so much for taking time to chat with Cannabis Radio News.
Sure thing. Great to be here. Thanks.